Faithfulness is a great need in our society. We hear about it often. 50% or more of marriages end in divorce. So that goes right along with the numbers of our congregation. 20% or so of those 50% are based on unfaithfulness in the marriage. That's just the ones that are recorded. It's probably higher than that. In government, are all of our politicians faithful, allegiant, trustworthy? It's one of those things where we usually have to pick the best of the worst. John and I, Mosley and I, were talking Wednesday night about that when we were talking about prayer. The Bible tells us to pray for our leaders. We're concerned that some of our leaders will never change, but our responsibility is to pray for them and let God do what he does. But we are to pray for them. I would suggest that the root of most problems in the church, as in society, is unfaithfulness, which comes from selfishness. It really is derived from selfishness. Our theme for 2020 here at Redland Road is to be better than we are in all categories, to get away from selfishness. But many Christians ask, why should I be faithful when so many are not? We sing a song regularly. You haven't sang it in a while. Farther Along. That's exactly what that song talks about. It says, while there are others living about us, never molested though in the wrong. They're continuing to prosper. So as Christians who are trying to do right, sometimes you wonder, why should I be? The folks that aren't are still being blessed. Things are going well for them. But that's not the attitude we need to have. We need to make sure that we're faithful. This morning we're going to talk about four areas. First one is why some are not faithful. Then we'll talk about some Bible examples of faithfulness. Then we'll talk about why we should be faithful. And then we'll have some keys to faithfulness at the end. Terry said I was regimented, so I need to make sure I follow my outline. And you know, it's interesting that he said that because when I left the military and went to SABIC, I was a corporate trainer down there. And one of my first meetings, one of the engineers came up to me and said, you're very regimented. Did you know that? I said, no, I'm just military. That's just the way it is. So we'll follow our points here. So number one, why some are not faithful. The first point I want to tell you is this is not rocket science. Some are not faithful because they just don't want to be. And it's as simple as that. They do not want to be. Christianity conflicts with their interest. You can't continue to hang out with the crowd. You can't do the things you want to do, the things you used to do, because of the selfish desire. So they just don't want to do it. Some say it's too hard to live the Christian life. Have you heard that? It's just too hard to live faithful to God. Too much work required. But those same people, and a lot of them, will tell you, it takes a lot of work to be good at sports. It takes a lot of work to be good at work. It takes a lot of work to be good at your hobbies, whatever they may be. But yet, in the same vein, they will say Christianity is too hard. Why is that? Is it our priorities? Is it our attitude? Because if we have hard work in these areas to be successful, wouldn't we think that the hard work would be required to be a Christian as well? To me, it makes sense that they kind of go together. Some are not willing to pay the price. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is an active passage. You know, sometimes we hear in writing you talk about active or passive speech. This is active. It requires work on our part. God expects us to work hard at being faithful. He knows it's hard, but he gives us everything that we need to be faithful if we will put in the work. He has done his part. He expects us to do our part. He expects us to pick up the cross of Christ daily to follow him. An interesting thing here is it says, be not conformed, but be ye transformed. Transformed means changed or converted. It means you're not the same. You convert to something else. So we are to be transformed, willing to do God's will, not our own. Another reason some are not faithful is because they have drifted into inactivity. They know they should be faithful. They know they should be active. They even get frustrated at themselves because they're not. And some of them will tell themselves, yep, I know I need to do it. I'm going to start again Sunday. Or I'm going to start again Wednesday. Or whatever the case may be. But in a lot of cases, they never get there. that Wednesday or Sunday that they say, I will, never happens. So we must continually be aware of the deadly sin of drifting. You know, in Wednesday night classes, I usually ask, what did David preach about on Sunday? Two Sundays ago, what did he preach about? Spiritual captivity. Remember? He talked about people drifting away and the world pulling us away. Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Are we drifting away? Do you know anybody that's drifting away? Usually it's a slow process. I remember one time as a kid, we went to the beach and we had a float out on the water and we weren't very far out. And we started playing and wasn't paying attention. About 15 minutes later, guess how far out that float was? Way out. It took us like 10 minutes to get out there to get it because it had just drifted away. It wasn't a quick thing, just over time the current took it. Same thing with inactivity. It's not usually people just don't stop doing what they're doing. It's they slow here, and then sooner or later they pull away. And then they ask the question, how did I get here? How am I where I am now? Because they weren't paying attention to drifting. Some have been hindered. Satan hinders some. 1 Thessalonians 1:18 says, wherefore we could have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. So if Satan could hinder Paul, do you think he can hinder us? I think so. But we need to be careful not to use that as justification for our inaction or our faithful or less than faithfulness. God will ensure we have a way of escape and we can overcome through him. We can't give in to the devil and his devices. The reading today, David and I didn't coordinate that. I sent him an email and said, hey, here's what my lesson is about. He said, I've already put the scripture in, but I think it will go with it. It does. It says, resist the devil and flee from him. So we can't give in to him. Others are hindered by friends and relatives. I know we don't like to talk about that sometimes, but some people are hindered by friends and family. I think I've used this illustration before, but I remember many years ago seeing a cartoon where the dad's in the recliner reading the paper. The little boy, it's a Sunday morning, he's dressed, he comes to dad, he says, Dad, why is the church always closed when family are here visiting? That's a powerful question, isn't it? People come to visit who are not members of the church, so we'll just stay home because we want to be good hosts and take care of our family. What would be a better influence? Go to church. Ask them to come with you. And if they don't go, go. Let them know what's most important to you. How can we be an influence if we don't take a stand? Some folks are hindered by other members of the church. I've heard people say, well, I would come, but so-and-so, fill in the blank. I have an issue with, or they have an issue with me. The Bible addresses that. It tells us that if we have an issue with one another, we are to go to that person and handle that correctly. So let's don't let members of the church be a hindrance to us, nor should we be a hindrance to anybody else. Those kind of attitudes can create havoc in the local congregation and in the brotherhood as a whole. Others are hindered by jobs or recreation. Now, we all have jobs that cause us to be away some. I have to travel some in the government, so I'll miss a Wednesday night here or there, but I try to find a congregation wherever I'm at. I showed up at the congregation in Church, Texas on a Wednesday night, and they kind of look at me like, who are you? But they really are impressed when you tell them, oh, I found you in the book and I just wanted to come and do Bible study with you. So when we're traveling for our jobs, there's still congregations out there that we can find. When we go on vacation, we should have that in mind before we go. We know where we're going to be staying, so we look up the congregations. We know what we can do. So jobs keeps us away. Recreation. It's summertime outside. If you drive up to Children's Harbor today or Lake Jordan or Lake Martin, you think there's boats in the water? You think there's a lot of people up there today? There's a lot of folks up there, and sometimes these warm summer sunny days really take a toll on participation in the congregations. I remember when I was stationed in Tampa, our congregation during the football season, we would have extra folks attend on Sunday morning because Tampa Bay was playing, so people would come from out of town for the game. They'd come and worship with us. I distinctly remember that we changed the Lord's Supper until after the lesson, because what was happening, a lot of folks would come, they would be there, we'd sing a couple of songs, have the Lord's Supper. Guess where they would go? They would head to the ball game, because in their mind they partook of the Lord's Supper, therefore they completed their worship, and on they went. Didn't hear the sermon, didn't do anything else. So we just have to be careful of what our attitude is. Faithfulness really comes down to an attitude, how you want to be perceived and what are you doing. Many folks are hindered in attending the services of the congregation, but they have perfect attendance at work. I worked with a guy at Savic. John knows him. He'd had perfect attendance for like 20-something years. But hardly ever did he. He wasn't a member of the church, but the congregation he went to, he didn't go every Sunday. We have that. We know people like that. They can go to work 6-7 days a week, on time, work overtime, but can't make the services of the church for an hour at a time. To me, I ask, is that an attitude problem or is it a priority problem? Probably both, because your attitudes reflect your priority. So we need to think about things. Now, granted, faithfulness is more than church attendance. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that attending worship is the only thing that says you're faithful. It's not. And we'll talk about that a little more in the lesson. So now that we've talked about why some people aren't faithful, let's talk about some Bible examples of folks who were faithful. Noah. Noah was faithful in an ungodly world. Genesis 6. 7 through 9 and 2 Peter 2, 5. Genesis says Noah walked with God. Peter said Noah was a preacher of righteousness. What do you think it was like being Noah building a big ark and people coming up and asking you, why are you building a boat? Then he said, I was told to, it's going to flood. People are like, what? But he kept doing what he was supposed to do. He met the objective. He was a preacher of righteousness. Lot was faithful in an ungodly city, Genesis 19 and 2 Peter 2. Peter says Lot was just, and his soul was vexed day to day with the unrighteousness and the deeds around him. That kind of goes back to what John and I were talking about Wednesday night. Is your soul or is my soul vexed with the sin that's going on around us now? Because there's plenty of it. Does it affect you deeply? Does it affect you spiritually? Does it affect you to the point that you want to pray about it, do something about it? Or are we so desensitized that it doesn't affect us at all? I'll admit to you, I struggle with that, because if I see the rioting, the looting, the mass shootings on the news, sometimes I just turn the TV off or turn it to a different channel and don't think about it. But that's not the right attitude to have as Christians. We should be like Lot, vexed with the unrighteousness around us. What are we doing to make things better? Praying. We're talking about praying on Wednesday night. We for sure need to pray about for our country and for the things that are going on. Stephen was faithful in Acts chapter 7. He reminded the crowd of the Old Testament and how God delivered Israel. And then he called them out on their resistance to the Spirit and they're not keeping the law. It cost him his life. But he was willing to do what he needed to do to make sure that those folks heard the truth. Hebrews chapter 11. We routinely call that the roll call of the faithful. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses. If God was putting together a modern day roll call of the faithful, would it say, by faith, Tom? Or by faith, Doug? Or by faith, Terry, fill your name in that gap. Would it say that? Because sooner or later, he's going to be putting together that roll call with all of us in it. And will our name follow that by faith? Because if we're not faithful, it won't. So we need to be faithful. We can change our circumstances and we can make sure that our name is included in that roll call. As long as we still have life, we can make the necessary changes and do what we need to do. Now we'll talk about why Christians should be faithful. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? You would think, well, Tom, we probably don't even need to talk about that, but I think we do. Go back to the numbers we started the lesson with. Obviously, some Christians are not buying into this faithfulness piece because our numbers are showing it severely. Revelation 2:10, God commands us to be faithful unto death and receive a crown of life. Now, granted, that was for a specific time. They were going to be tried, but God expected them to be faithful even through those trials. Those of us today, we may not be sent to prison or treated like the first century Christians were, but our faithfulness in hard times and hard places is expected. Hard times will bring to the surface our faithfulness and loyalty, or our lack thereof. What's the old saying? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Does that mean you get going the other direction, you run? No, that means you stay and you take that challenge head on, face up, and you man up, woman up, you take it. You're ready to fight that challenge. Doesn't mean you get going and you run. We can help each other do that. We've talked a lot about how we don't have to do this alone. We're here for one another. We're to bear one another's burdens. We are to help each other be faithful. The Bible tells us to put others above ourselves. So our job as Christians is to help the other Christians, as well as those that are not Christians. That's commanded. We're to bear one another's burdens. Faithfulness will put joy in our Christianity. 1 Peter 1:8 says, "Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Those folks that Peter was writing to had never seen Jesus. They believed in him, never seen him, and they had joy unspeakable. We've never seen him, but we believe in him. We have that same joy. You can't have that joy if you're not faithful. We have to be walking in the light and be faithful servants to have that joy. Our faithfulness will influence others. Probably the most important thing, other than securing our own salvation, is our influence to other people. Your faithfulness will influence other people. Your unfaithfulness will influence other people. We talk a lot about in the kids' classes, you're giving off two kind of examples, negative or positive. So you're faithful or you're unfaithful, and each of those will influence people in one regard or another. If we're not faithful, how can we expect to make an influence in the world? Matthew 5:14-16 says, "We are the light of the world, and we're to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father." Are we shining our light to those around us? In works, in service, in activities, in our manner of life, in our everyday life, can they see that we're trying to be faithful and that we want to be the example that we need to be? When others see our faithfulness, it encourages them to be faithful. Those who are struggling, if they see you're faithful, even through tough times and struggles, it will help them to be faithful. So we need to make sure that we understand we're doing things not only for us, but for others. Simple example, and this is a very simple example about faithfulness in attendance. We'll just use that for an example. So if you're studying with someone and you say, "Hey, I'd like to invite you to the services of Redland Road." And they say, "Well, when do they meet?" You say, "Well, we meet Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, but I only go Sunday morning, so I'd recommend you come Sunday morning because that's when I'll be there." What kind of influence would that be? And we have to be honest. Some of us would have to say, "Well, yeah, that's probably me." But if it is, we can change that. We need to make sure that when we're inviting people and being that influence, that we're the full influence that we need to be. 1 Peter 1:3-6, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations." That inheritance is promised only to those who are faithful, as we talked about in Revelation 2:10. Revelation 3:5 is a staggering verse to me. It states that those who are faithful, those that are overcome, that do overcome, will not have their name blotted out of the book of life. Now, it doesn't say those who do not overcome will have their name blotted out of the book of life, but what's the only alternative? We use that argument in other parts of the Bible. Well, it doesn't have to say that. Noah was told to use gopher wood. He wasn't told not to use oak. We know that he was told what to do. So the Bible says, he that overcometh will not have their name blotted out of the book of life. So is it important to be faithful? Absolutely. Is it something we need to do to ensure that our name stays in the book of life? Absolutely. And finally, we need to be faithful because it will make the church stronger. You know, I'm thankful, like I said this morning, we're running around. We've got a couple of people missing. We've got people who are in spots, and some of us were double tapped, and we're asking for people to fill in. And we're blessed here in this congregation that we have men willing to step up and do a lot of things anytime. But a church is only as strong as the people that make it up, the local congregation. So we need to make sure that we're faithful so we don't affect or weaken our body here. The question that was asked one time, it says, if everyone in this congregation was as faithful as I am, the church would be what? Fill in the blank. When it comes to attendance, service, participation, good works, efforts that we do. So if everyone was as faithful as me or as faithful as you, how strong would our congregation be? I think we need to keep that in mind and ensure that we do what we need to do. Finally, this morning, we're going to talk about some keys to faithfulness. None of these, again, are new. None of them are, you know, just incredible discoveries. The first one is determine that you're going to be faithful. It's as simple as that. Make a purpose, make a decision. You know, I hate to admit, but when I was 16, I started smoking. One of the worst decisions I ever made. But 8 years later, in 1991, I quit smoking cold turkey. I decided I was going to quit because I had a child on the way, and my three-year-old asked me, Dad, can I have one of those? And I said, you can't have one of those. They're bad for you. And then she said, well, why can you have them? How do you answer that question? You don't. You make a decision. So I made a decision, and I quit cold turkey, and that's been 29 years ago. I quit because I wanted to quit. You can be faithful if you want to be faithful. That's really what it comes down to. Do you want to be faithful? Luke 9:62 says, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Luke 9:23-26, must be willing to deny yourself for Jesus. We can do what we want to do when we set our minds to it. There's a lot of us in here, I'm sure, can say, I learned to do this, or I can do that. It took a lot of work, but I set my mind to it, and now I can do it. Same thing with faithfulness. We need to pray for help from our Father. We need to be in regular prayer with Him, as we talked about on Wednesday night. Pray constantly. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Paul even asked others to pray for him. Ephesians 6:18-20. So we need to pray for one another. Don't try everything else, then God. Try God first. And I think we'll find that it works. We need to study our Bibles daily. We talked about that ad nauseum in class. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show approved, a workman know the book. In Acts 17, God commended those who knew the book, the Bereans. They were commended for being able to know the Bible. I found this quote, and I think, and I don't know who said it, but it says, most unfaithfulness comes from an overworked body and an underworked mind. At least spiritually. Read, study, meditate, pray. See how much it helps us to be faithful. And then finally, attend services regularly. Now, during this pandemic, we understand this is a unique time. There's people, as David said, that are still home because of circumstances, and we don't know when the end of that will be. But when the end comes, and it will, and we all have the opportunity to worship again, we need to make sure that we put a priority on attending the services of the congregation. Again, it goes back to the drifting. Usually people miss one or two, then you miss a few more, then before you know it, you're completely gone. As I was putting together this lesson, Diane and I started worshiping here in March of 2012, so it's been 8 years. I counted no less than 17 people that used to worship with us that no longer do, that have, due to inactivity or drifting, have kind of fallen away. 17. And I would say most of those, I don't know for sure, but I would almost be sure that most of those don't attend anywhere. So the question for us is, what are we doing for those of our number who are unfaithful? Are we working on trying to get them back? because we need to. We get out of worship what we put into worship. I've heard people say, well, I didn't get anything out of that sermon, or I didn't get anything out of this or that. If we participate and want to gain something from it, we will. If we don't, we won't. If you think faithfulness is just coming here and checking the box, you're wrong. If you think sitting in an auditorium with your phone or your tablet, checking text, email, Facebook, and I've seen people with Facebook up before in the auditorium, and then you wonder why you get nothing out of the lesson, I don't know how to help you, because you're not focused on the right thing. So we need to make sure that, as James says, that we're doers of the word, not hearers only. Come to worship ready to participate, prayerful, and participate, and I think we'll be equipped when we leave. We'll feel much, much better. And finally, the last point on some keys to be faithful is be patient with yourself. Don't ever give up. I know some of you who are especially into sports have seen the Jimmy Valvano cancer speech that he gave. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Same thing with faithfulness. Don't give up. Times are going to get tough. Times are going to get hard. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. But don't give up. Because if you give up and quit, you'll become unfaithful. And if your death comes or the Lord comes, then you're unprepared. And we sing that a lot. Are you prepared to meet your God? So don't give up. Be patient with yourself. Keep going. So we've talked about a lot of stuff this morning on faithfulness. But I think if we're faithful to God and we follow His will in all areas of life, in our home, our work, our relationships, I think we will find that we will be faithful in those as well. The key is, what do we put first? Our priorities. What do we have our minds focused on? And what is our attitude? So this morning, are you faithful? Are you faithful to God? Are you faithful to the church, His Son, Jesus Christ? Are you faithful in all that you do? If you're not a Christian, you can't be faithful because you're lost. So this morning, if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you want to repent of your sins or have repented of your sins, you confess before men that Jesus is Lord, and you're ready to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, we can help you do that today. But if you've obeyed the gospel in the past and have become unfaithful, you still have life. You still have an opportunity. You still have the ability to determine and purpose that you want to change things and become faithful to Him once more. If there's any need that you have this morning, we stand ready to assist you as we stand and sing.